Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Paranormal Punches is part of the Podbelly Network. Go to podbelly.com for more great podcasts.
Hey, y'all. This is Frank the Bigfoot, and you're listening to the Paranormal Punchers.
Hey, friends. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Punchers. I'm Mark.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Nash.
I'm Dave.
And on this episode, we're going to travel down to Houston to talk about the Houston Batman.
Batman.
Or the Batman of Houston.
Yeah.
This is
good jump on that one. I like how you did that. Yeah.
And this is going to take us all the way back. Oh, and on the second half, we got some fun things to talk about. Maybe some movie stuff, some listener feedback. Who knows? So stick around to the very end. None of this, listen to the topic and then jump it away. Let us go back to June 18th of 1953.
I thought you were going to do like Rod Serling there for a second. Picture, if you will, a sunny day, Houston, Texas, 1953.
Okay, well, you just did it, so.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. The Houston...
There's only one word into it.
The Houston Batman, also known as the Houston Horror, was a very tall man-like creature with bat wings that was seen for the first time in the yard of Hilda Walker at 118 East 3rd Street in Houston, Texas. So, on a very hot, peaceful night, Hilda Walker, who was 23 at the time, Judy Meyer, who was 14, and Howard Phillips, he was 33, all neighbors were sitting on Hilda's front porch around 2:30 in the morning on June 18th, 1953.
2:30
yeah,
in the morning?
Yeah, so if you're sitting on your porch on a summer day at 2:30 a.m., what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're getting schnockered.
Well,
but there was a 14-year-old kid there.
Right? Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that blows that whole concept away.
And this is the 50s, so a housewife sitting with her older neighbor and a younger neighbor. Like, this is already kind of suspicious.
Now, because of the heat, I guess they were all having trouble sleeping. Hence, they were just sitting outside.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
It was 53.
Right.
The only way you get every air conditioning is by running.
I love that you're just like, yeah, no, it was 53. Of course they didn't have AC.
They didn't have air conditioning in 53. They had fans.
Fact.
They had fans and running and cars with windows open.
So they were...
They had people like cutting ice and bringing it
down. That could be it too. Yeah. Putting ice in front of a big fan. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were...
For more HVAC news, follow Nash at hashtag Nash.
It's so early in the podcast already.
They were sitting on Hilda's porch when Hilda noticed a large shadow move across her lawn before getting a good look at what caused the shadow. In Hilda's words, 25 feet away, I saw a huge shadow across the lawn. I thought at first it was the magnified reflection of a big moth caught in the nearby streetlight. Then the shadow seemed to bounce upward into a pecan tree. We all looked up.
To a what?
A pecan.
A pecan tree.
Yes.
Okay.
We all looked up. And
thanks
that's,
for the interjection. Yeah.
I heard it all wrong. Sorry. Okay.
That's when we saw it. Now, what all three of them saw was a very tall, man-like figure standing around 6.5 feet with bat-like wings attached to its back, a black, tight-fitting outfit, and surrounded by a glowing yellow haze.
Nice. I like the outfit already.
All three of them were absolutely scared of what they saw, but were unable to move due to shock. The figure lingered for about 30 seconds before the light began to fade out and the figure vanished.
Okay, so just quick interjection. Sure. There's a shadow at 2:30 a.m.
I know.
So it had to be like a full moon. It had to be super bright out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Or the street light that was mentioned in the article.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess if you want to go that route, sure, whatever.
Well, no, go your route. Okay, full moon.
Right. I was just thinking, light, I was just thinking like a man werebat kind of a thing.
Right. Judy then let out a piercing scream. And then this is Hilda in her own words as well. Immediately afterwards, we heard a loud swoosh over the housetops across the street. It was like the white flash of a torpedo-shaped object. I've heard so much about flying saucer stories, and I thought all those people telling the stories were crazy. But now I don't know what to believe. I may be nuts, but I saw it. Whatever it was, I sat there stupefied. I was amazed. when they looked across the street, they saw another flash of light rise up from another tree. And as Howard said, it took off like a jet. The next morning, Hilda went to the authorities and made a police report of what they had seen. Now, I did see that there were some other stories.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, I would
like different versions of this.
Before we discuss it deeper, I found a newspaper article from a neighboring town, Lubbock, Texas. Mm-hmm. And in the Lubbock Morning Avalanche. Now, I'm going to read it, and it's interesting how it's described. There's some discrepancies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know if it's an example of how things get sensationalized, but this is from, well,
somebody in Lubbock.
The Lubbock Avalanche. Houston residents sight Batman on tree perch in yard. Houston, June 18th. Five persons, all of whom live in the same house, complained to police they saw a combination of Superman and Captain Midnight perched in an oak tree outside their home early Thursday and said he disappeared in the light of a mysterious rocket and a second aerial display. Police said they were investigating the stories but admitted they were not equipped to handle such phenomena as the five persons described. Mrs. Hilda Walker, 23, accompanied by her husband Lloyd, was the first to report the affair to authorities. She said it was 2:30 a.m., and because it was so hot, her husband, the 14-year-old daughter of the landlady, and herself were all sitting on a porch when the entire yard seemed wrapped in a heavy shadow. All of a sudden, this shadow settled in a tree, she said. We all looked up and saw a Batman. He was balancing himself on a tree limb, and there was a dim gray light all around him. She said the creature was about 6.5 feet tall, wearing a black cape, a skin-tight dark pants, quarter-length boots, and looked like a white man.
Okay.
I could see him plainly and could see he had big wings folded at his shoulders, she said. Walker and young Judy Myers, daughter of Mrs. Vivian Myers, agreed in all aspects. They said after the Batman perched in the tree a few moments, while they sat paralyzed and watched, a mysterious white flame and smoke shot from behind him, and a burning object like a flying paintbrush scooted across the horizon, and the Batman faded from view.
What?
Wow.
Mrs. Meyer said she got home just in time to see the flying paintbrush scoot across the sky. And another roomer, age 71, said he saw the weird shadowy fellow in the tree, though he said he merely went back to bed. The walkers agreed it couldn't have been their imagination and said they were so upset that they were thinking about returning to Bryan from where they moved only 3 months ago.
Hmm.
Now, boy, when that story traveled to this newspaper,
right.
They changed a few details.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is it Bat Spaceman, Batman, all one word, or Bat Dash Man?
All one word.
Batman. One word.
Yeah. Okay.
Lowercase b.
So this encounter only lasted seconds, but there have been other reports of a flying Birdman or Batman
right.
in the area throughout the decades.
So wasn't there a bunch of them in the 70s, like middle 70s?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff happening in the 70s. All right.
Well, I only have one written okay. down, and it's not very like specific. In Rio Grande City, there were rumors of a man-bird that haunted the roof of a local tavern during the 1970s.
Okay.
And then that's all I have for the 70s, because I was just grabbing certain ones.
No one else remembers anything.
No.
Yeah, it was a hazy time. The one that I remember was that there was a small child who was playing in their backyard and by themselves, and I guess this man-bird creature was, they said it was only, the child said it was about 5 feet tall and must have, they guess it was like, I don't know, 200 pounds or something like that. But it landed in the backyard. And when it landed in the backyard, the kid was alone. It left like talon marks in the ground. Okay. So, but the talon marks, they said when it landed, I guess the kid freaked out and the man bird took off. And the child went and got his parents, and the parents came out, and I guess the talon marks went into the ground 2 inches deep.
Whoa.
So they called the police, and they're like, what the heck is this? So the police guy came out, the officer came out, and like, the police officer weighed like 250, and he was trying to imitate how far into the ground the footsteps would go to try to gauge how much this thing was, or how much it weighed. And come to find out, it could not make an indentation as deep as the bird.
Wow.
The Birdman. So they were saying that that the bird couldn't have weighed 200 pounds. It must have been so much bigger, and the child just didn't know. You know, couldn't guess. Right. Was just guessing. But that the bird took off, and when it took off, it left these giant talon marks in the ground, which is
wow.
really cool. And there was another one that I kind of remember. It was about a woman having a face-to-face with this Birdman.
Ooh.
And inviting the Birdman in to have blueberry pancakes, and said that this,
as one does,
as we do, yeah. And I guess the Birdman came in, and it was said the lady had said, "Well, he's got a great appetite. Ate as many blueberry pancakes as my husband does," and then got up and left.
Wow,
there you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Case closed.
That's right. So they're trying to determine if it, you know. So that led to whole things like which, you know, the kid who saw the Birdman or Batman. They were saying,
I was like, right. You do know the topic we're discussing.
Yeah.
It's the Houston Batman,
yes.
Not the Houston Birdman.
No, it was. Yeah, this was all in the same category. It was all in the '70s. It all got put in the same thing.
Well, this is 1953. We're talking about
the first one was in 1953. Smarty Boots. The rest of them were like in the '70s.
Yeah.
And but they were saying, yeah, they all got lumped together. So yes, thanks for taking the steam out of my sails there, Mark.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Nice.
I'm kidding.
Oh, nice.
Boy. Now, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Oh, no. I was about to see how you're doing.
Oh, okay.
And then if you want to continue?
Sure. In the 1990s, multiple employees of the Bel Air Theater in Houston witnessed a gigantic helmeted man crouching on a rooftop. And I think we had briefly mentioned this when we were talking about Spring Hill Jack.
Right. There's a connection
between
the Houston Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the one paper described him having the boots, the cape.
Right.
You know, when they talk about smoke and flame, look like it was behind him. Like, well, what if it's like a jetpack? So some people are connecting Spring Hill Jack-esque type creature with the Batman.
Right.
Now, in November of 2007, a San Antonio man named Frank Ramirez said that he had encountered an enormous winged humanoid on the city's south side one evening. I don't have a whole lot of specifics here, but...
South side?
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then in April 2009.
I'm so excited to say that.
I was.
In April 2009, a woman was on her cell phone in the driveway when she looked up and saw a huge, dark-winged man gliding through the air. She ran to her house and called her husband and son to come out, and they were all able to see this man-bat figure flying by. It eventually disappeared out of sight, but...
I didn't see you. There was a couple of pictures of the creature flying.
Did you? Okay. Yeah,
and I don't know. I couldn't figure out what sighting went into the pictures because they looked more like a...
everything I saw that had pictures were using pictures of the Mothman.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I saw that too. Look at stuff.
Yeah.
Bob, like,
I did mention. Yeah. When I was doing my research, I feel like they were mentioning Mothman as kind of like one of the more notorious ones that
of the winged.
Yes.
Right. I is also some of the artists. I'm like, do you not know that's the Mothman statue? That photo you're using? Are you just not? Are you just posting this trying to get it out? You don't even care. You don't even know because there was far too many articles using that Mothman statue.
Right. I agree.
Thank you. I know. I was kind of like
you. Right. Yeah. Now, and I only have like one more thing, but it's more of a legend in the area. The legend of La Lechuza.
She helps you choose your destiny?
No. She was a witch who was murdered for practicing the devil's magic. Mm. So in revenge, she came back as a creepy bird lady. Mm. A shapeshifter who can appear as a woman, but then turns into a huge bird with a woman's face, which is creepy right there.
Wait. Bird lower half, woman's face?
Yeah, woman's face.
Because there was a whole thing about which half of the man was a bird man.
Yeah, I know.
No, tell me. There was a whole thing.
Yeah, every encounter that I came across, they talked about which half of the Batman, Birdman was the flying part, which was the bat or the bird, and then which was man.
No, I mean, keep going.
Yeah. The woman with the pancakes, it was the top half was bird, the bottom was human.
Oh, see, now this story changes a bit.
Yeah, and then on the with the child.
Now I understand why she invited him in.
Yeah.
And have blueberry pancakes.
Yeah, she wanted to, anyway. And there was, I was going to put something about his, anyway.
Yeah,
his beak
that.
Is another word for his beak.
It's a PG show.
I know. But with a little kid, it was the bird half was the bottom half and the man half, although he could still fly. Mm. So I don't know how that works. And then the Batman sitting in the tree, I don't know. It might have been all bat.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But if you're sitting in the tree, I think that he was getting ready to take a dump in the person's yard, and they caught him.
Batman sitting in the tree at night.
Yeah. And then that explosion that he had come out of his back.
Oh, that was...
It was a little emission. And you're like, woohoo! And then it shot him out.
Wow.
You've never tried that?
I don't like being inside your head.
Okay. Sometimes neither do I.
So some describe La Lechuza.
La Lechuza?
La Lechuza. As a large 7-foot tall bird with a 15-foot wingspan and the face of an old woman. And others say she is a small bird with the face of an old woman.
Like
I don't know which one's creepier.
Like a harpy almost? Isn't that what the harpy is?
Yeah.
So she has been known to disguise her voice like a baby crying so that she can pounce on you when you come outside. She might even whistle outside your window to annoy you. And when you open the window to yell at the offending bird...
She grabs you?
She scratches your eyes out.
Oh!
Wait, how tall was she?
Well, it varies. Either, yeah, it varies.
The full grown, not the little one. The full grown.
7 feet tall.
Wow, that's a lot of bird going through a window to scratch your eyeballs out.
Well, if you look out, if you open your window and you...
Lean your head out?
You
completely stick your head all the way out the window. Like there's a pie on another window next door, and you're like, hello.
It's like a 1950s sitcom.
Right.
Like,
hey. Yeah.
So what I have now is possible explanations as to what this possibly could
be. Well,
but...
I did find a few more sightings of bat-like creatures.
Yeah. Okay.
This was in 2014.
Okay.
Mom was at home with her daughter, and they saw a dude just walking across started crossing in front of him. She slowed down, let him go. I don't know if it was a crosswalk. hoodie, jeans, lots of shadows. Couldn't make anything out about the person. But, you know, and all of a sudden, he kind of sped up. Wings burst from him. He grabbed a tree limb and then shot up into the night.
Wow.
And she said her daughter was like, Mom, did you see that bat? She's like, that wasn't a bat. It was a man bat. But she also felt hypnotized. Like, while he was strolling across the road, like, she had to stop, was watching. Even her drive home, she just felt, like, just hypnotized by the creature that she just saw.
Right.
Like, she was in a fog.
So did the wings have a spot to come out? Because I don't picture wings being strong enough to tear through cloth.
Yeah, like a hoodie.
Yeah.
That's some hardcore stuff.
You could, yeah. A modified hoodie where you had like slits for your wings. Yeah.
Okay.
But it'd be hard to disguise that. Like,
maybe that's the hypnotized part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So she thought she was just seeing the dude in some blue jeans and a hoodie. But
so that actually could be more, is it harpy-esque? No, was it harpy? Who always lured sailors to their death on the rocks?
Sirens.
The siren, like more of a siren, because they would the siren song, like a low level song that would hypnotize anybody around them, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To not see that you have giant 15-foot wings underneath your hoodie, that would be kind of hard to do, because you would look like you have 15-foot wings. Crumpled up, well, your hood.
That was the witch.
Don't look at me like I'm just relaying what I found on the internet.
Yeah. We didn't get a size of the wings on the...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, Batman. Speaking of size of wings, so in 1998, a couple friends were going home. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I think they were walking home from playing some Nintendo at their buddy's house. And
Nintendo?
Yeah.
Nice.
And they heard this really strange noise above them in the sky. So they look up, and they described it as, afterwards as something out of the movie Jeepers Creepers.
Oh. Okay.
Now, he said, yes, this was before Jeepers Creepers, but as he typed this, that's what popped to his mind. And that was like a big man-winged crazy creature.
Right.
And so, of course, they ran as fast as possible to get home, shut the door. And he was describing it as it had a wingspan of at least 7 feet, which seems
not
small,
a whole lot.
Right?
Unless he meant one half, you know, just the on each side, 7 foot wings.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that's not that big.
Right.
No.
If you remember the A-hole,
right?
You know, that had a pretty big wingspan. So that was like a giant bat, ape-like,
right?
Crazy creature. But that was much bigger than a seven.
Isn't the math
wingspan
that it needs to be like a wingspan?
Yeah. So like a bat that is 6 feet tall, it would need a wingspan of 18 feet or more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So even if it was 7 foot each side, that's only 14-foot wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
That still could get
it. It'd have to be a hummingbird. I mean, that's to really put some effort into that thing.
Sure.
Little teeny tiny wings means you got to go faster.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay, so possible explanations for you guys. It's an undiscovered species or cryptid. Ken Gerhard, he's a cryptozoologist from Texas. He believes that the existence of these big birds is possible. And if they do exist, their home base has to be somewhere like completely unexplored and remote.
Which is not Texas, though, right? I mean, there's thousands of acres of dense. Well,
there's you know,
forests and swamp in that area,
right? And they could also have a pretty wide, they can travel miles,
Well, they
thousands
can fly.
Of miles.
They should be able to fly, and they should be able to cover.
But it should be, it should be a pretty. I don't know.
In caves, where's that cave system that the. Isn't it thousands and thousands or millions of bats come out every night? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that in Texas also? I think it is also. So it could be down there.
Yeah. Is it an alien?
Yes,
possibly. I mean, the glow that's surrounding it.
Right.
And then it kind of just disappeared.
Right.
There is that possibility that it might be an alien. Is it just an owl or a large bird?
No, definitely not.
I have a couple. Let's see. That was in the 70s. In 1976, outside of San Antonio, two different people in two different vehicles saw what looked like a giant bird with bony structures and a wingspan from 15 to 20 feet long flapping its wings.
That sounds about right.
It reminded one of them, who was a teacher, of a pteranodon.
Pteranodon?
Pteranodon, sure. which is an extinct flying reptile. The same year, a man heard something slam the side of his home. And when he went outside to see what happened, he was face to face with a bird-like creature that was 4 feet tall, with eyes the size of silver dollars. He said it had wings, but it definitely wasn't a bird.
Batman can't see glass.
Batman's flying into the glass.
It could also be an interdimensional time traveler, which I find kind of fun.
Like, didn't humans in the future have evolved to have wings?
Yes. Ooh. Or maybe that's their ship, the way they travel. Right. I don't know. But
I didn't go that route. I didn't think about that route. No. That's interesting. I mean, I think it's very clear cut and very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are so many bats because we're in Texas. There's you know, everywhere. There's bats.
I was going to say there's bats everywhere.
Yeah, there's bats everywhere. There's bats everywhere. This very clearly some genetic manipulation happening. Some cross genes. Somebody made a man bat. It's Occam's razor. It's the simplest explanation of them all is the correct one.
Hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to call Ken Gerhardt and tell him to stop researching the man bat because you already solved it.
It's done. Right. It's cracked. The case is done. It's closed. Yep. Done job.
Yeah, Ken, don't waste any more time.
Right? Yeah.
Because Nash solved it.
I figured it out. That's right. It did. It just didn't do a very good job at it. That's why you only see him every once in a great while. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely genetic splicing.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well. I mean, imagine being a man bat and having the wrong half.
Oof.
Right? That would really suck. You'd have really skinny, odd legs with the claws that stuck in the ground. Really hard to fly. You might have to run a little bit. That really, that's no good. That's why there's so many varying degrees of this creature.
You'd rather have
the top
a man's
half.
Body and a bat's head?
No, yeah, the top half. So you're like your torso would be bat, so you had wings.
Right.
And like the bat head, but human legs.
I don't see how that's much better.
Well, then you could do your business behind, you know, whenever you need to do your business. And
I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't.
Use the restroom. You could just do your business as you're flying.
But the lower part of the...
Then you don't have
regular back can do his business wise flying too.
Right. But then you don't really have the full wingspan because it's your bottom half that is bat style, not the top half. It's the top half wouldn't be fully developed. It'd be really hard to fly.
Hmm.
Why am I entertaining?
I know.
This whole thing. Why am I trying to picture what you're describing? No,
a really tall person with a bottom half of bat legs and bat butt. You know, a little teeny tiny underdeveloped wings, and then the torso is kind of human-like, and the head is human-like. Or the flip side would be the torso and head of a bat with human legs from the waist down, human parts from the waist down.
Mm-hmm. That just sounds like something out of the cantina on Tatooine.
Mm-hmm. That could be. That could be. That could be.
Let's go move on.
Yeah.
Do we even... ejection seat handle on this episode?
Right, right. No, it's the mute button. Yeah, I wasn't recording a single thing Nash just said there. I know it was. Okay. My brain needs scrubbed. Lish?
The last thing it could possibly be is a hoax. So.
True.
Yeah. And I just have like a miscellaneous thing. So Ken Gerhardt, I think he moved to Texas because he was kind of obsessed with learning more about this creature. But he did so much research trying to find that home on.
Yeah, because it's not there anymore.
Yeah, it's not there anymore.
I don't remember. Did it get paved
Look
over?
At you.
Or I was. No,
I don't know why Ken didn't just call you first. Were you bothered to move?
I'm telling you. Did it get? I don't remember if I remember they got paved over or if it's something
it's
else.
Now part of Interstate 10.
Yeah. Yep.
So
get turned into a freeway.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good situation if you're ever selling a house. The government comes through and runs a freeway through your house. Mm. They buy a top dollar.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah. I saw a documentary on that.
Yeah.
But you know, they were going to blow up Earth for it. And
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. Yeah. 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 They create the bypass.
Yeah.
Nice. Always remember a towel, everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Dave, I'm disappointed. You used the word documentary. Snashes.
To welcome to the dark side.
No. No. Yeah. All right. Anything about the Batman?
Batman.
All right. So I guess we're moving on.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, according to a review by the National Geographic in 2011, 86% of the Earth's species have not been fully discovered. Right. So there is that also.
There is, like, that, but the whole thing of the yellow glow, and I, you know, based on what I was looking at, I couldn't tell if they were talking if the paintbrush was a ship or was it turned in, you know, like how it was flying, like. You know, so if, you know, she, her quote even said that, you know, she heard about all these flying saucers and thought people were crazy. So it sounded like she was thinking this was a flying saucer type thing. So if it was alien, did it fly away and then came back in the 70s? It, there's a lot of, you know, weirdness to this, obviously.
I agree.
We all agree. Yeah.
That's the best thing you've said all day.
I agree with you, Dave. There is weirdness.
All right, well, then I guess we can agree we're going to take a break. We'll come right back with more Bat Stuff.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
And we're back. All right. Batman.
Yeah?
Houston Batman. Any final thoughts on anything about the story of 1953, the Houston Batman?
No.
Yeah. Nice.
I go back to the story itself with the three different people sitting out there. Right, sounded really weird. Uh-huh. The news article kind of gave more that, you know, the husband of the housewife was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was another roommate who saw it and like, whatever, going back to bed.
Right. Yep. So, you know, overall it was like it sounded like the press article was a little bit more credible than the direct witness interviews.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me that the three witnesses in 53 that saw it, because there was the 23-year-old housewife, the 14-year-old kid, and then the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy, I think, it just seemed like they had to use the guy to give us some kind of a credibility. Because he's a tool inspector?
Yes.
Yeah. So he has to, he's like certified to be an inspector of whatever.
He's a tool inspector?
He's a tool inspector. That's what it said. He was a tool inspector.
Yeah.
They have tool inspectors. Yeah, yeah.
If you were there, he would have known exactly what he's looking
for. He'd be like, yeah, that's a tool over
and
there.
A tool. And then when he looked up, and except that way they had
Dave gets me.
Yeah. Oh, I got it, too. Don't worry. That way they had all the different varieties of people to kind of corroborate so that it would give it some kind of validity. But
right. Yep.
But I do think that the yellow glue had to do from methane. I think the guy was there to drop a stinker.
Mm. Okay.
They saw him and he was like, oh no. And then, you know, let out a little extra, which is how he, when he took off.
Yeah.
And
again, Ken, Gerhardt, stop your research.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nash solved it.
Yep. Done.
A little bit of science corner.
Oh, God.
Dave Science Corner. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, it's 2:30 in the morning. Right. How was there a shadow? But the night sky is not black.
It's right. It has stars.
Well, it has stars, but it's actually the color.
Science Corner. Let him finish.
Oh, sorry.
The color of space is not black. It's there's actually a term for it, which I should have looked up in the break and didn't. But
so much for Science Corner.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's the reason why a dark camouflage has light spots to it, because if you're pure black, you will show up as a shadow mm-hmm. on top of the night sky. So even if it was 2:30 and there was no other light, it wasn't full moon, it wasn't street lights, the full black shadow would have shown up on showed mm-hmm. up on the sky.
I just think that to be up at 2:30 because it was too hot for me would be two things, like a full moon, because it's hard to go to sleep during a full moon anyway, because I want to turn into a wolf, you know, whatever. But it could have also been cloudy.
Right.
Because it was probably super humid. That's why they wanted to be outside, where it was a little bit cooler and some mm-hmm. air movement.
Right.
So bright sky, humid, and they're outside. So that would explain the shadow, because mm-hmm. it was quite bright out because of the full moon. Mm-hmm. Or, you know.
You're assuming there was a full moon.
Yeah. Not necessarily a full moon, but it was enough light coming from the reflection from the moon itself. Mm-hmm. And the clouds coming through. So that way it was why everybody was up at that time.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Nash interrupted Dave's Science Corner. Mm-hmm. But still. Yeah. Science Corner.
Yeah. Got enough of it through.
You know, there was another sighting of a bat in Texas. This would be Austin, Texas. During this was just this year for the premiere of The Batman at a theater in Austin, Texas. Somebody
with a twinkle guy.
Somebody smuggled in a real bat, and in the middle of everybody watching The Batman, they let it go.
No,
and some people freaked out, and the theater was like, you know, hey, you know, let's stop it. We'll give refunds for anybody, but a lot of people like. No, we want to keep watching the movie with the bat flying around. So they also beefed up their security so people can't smuggle bats in to the theater anymore.
Right.
But there you go.
Just trying to think of smuggling in a bat would be pretty easy to do.
Start with how you captured the bat.
Yeah.
Well, you have a bat box. They're little teeny tiny guys.
Okay, so you got in a bat box. Oh, so then you just take the bat box and you put it in the...
You could literally just take them in and put them in your little inside pocket of a jacket. And it'd be snug as a bug.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering about the security. So the only way to get a bat then through security, or the security to be beefed up, they have to get like pat downs.
Dude, I don't want to go too far with this, but you're smuggling in a bat box, but they're doing pat downs. So there's only one place you could put that bat box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In your prison wallet.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because it's the ultimate prank. I'm willing to endure this to unleash a bat during the movie The Batman. Speaking.
Ouch.
Speaking of movies and bats, I'm going to ask you guys, what are some of your favorite movies with a Batman, a man bat, a bat-like creature, a vampire bat? Are you got any movies that you love, you watch all the time, or you could recommend that involves any type of bat?
Morbius.
Nobody agrees with you because I haven't seen it, but from what I heard,
with a bat in it?
Anything. It could be any form of superhero to vampire.
Wow, that's tough. I have to give a second to think about that. My goodness.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a niche out there that they haven't explored with a superhero that would really, evolve to be like a Batman.
Right.
The Batman.
To be more like a man bat. Anyway, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, obviously you got all your Batman movies. Mm-hmm. But what ones would you put up top of that list?
Oh, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight?
Yep.
Yeah. Dark Knight or The Batman.
I'm a fan of Tim Burton's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was in the 90s. It was perfect. We got to see Batman, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, The Dark Knight. Actually, I'm a big fan of Batman Begins because I love the origin story. Mm. I feel like, okay, this makes sense how a dude in a suit could kick butt because he learned how to fight with a sword and there's things he got in his arms and he was trained.
Right.
So I was like that.
I'm still thinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you move into like the vampires, though, a classic, Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, too. That's a good one. You know the saxophone player from that movie? Tina Turner's saxophone player? The guy who has like a chain around his neck? He's playing this weekend. This coming weekend.
He's going to get a whole career out of playing with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's playing this weekend here in town.
It's great.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to probably stick with The Lost Boys. I watched that movie more times than I can count. I've watched it so many times. I'll stick with The Lost Boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't have to stick with one. I mean, you could have many favorites. I mean, Fright Night. That's from the 1985, I think.
I think so.
Not the remake with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
The original from 85, 86, something like that. Blade?
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
Blade was great.
I do want to see the new one coming out with, what's his name?
Oh.
Mahershala Ali.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Almost had it.
Yeah, yeah. Maraschino Cherry. That guy.
Well, he's no longer a listener of our
show. Ali or something like that? Yeah, yeah. Yes. I want to see that.
Right.
I want to see that Blade.
No, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Wesley Snipes Blade.
Yeah.
I didn't like
Blade Trinity, no, but Blade 1 and 2, I really... Yeah.
Blade 1, I didn't like the villain. Brad... What's his name?
No. Jeez.
Dorf? No, Brad.
Oh, Stephen Dorf.
Stephen Dorf.
Yeah.
I didn't like him as a villain, but I thought Wesley Snipes as Blade was great.
Was that and then Blade 2, directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one.
Right.
The guy he would direct to be Hellboy, Ron Perlman was in that also. Right. Yeah, that was a great movie. Trinity should have been good. Had Ryan Reynolds in it.
Right.
I know.
And Jessica Biel.
And Jessica Biel. But it wasn't that great.
I think Blade 1 was the first time I had ever witnessed them using sunblock. The idea of putting sunblock on a vampire. I think that's the first time I ever saw that.
How about 30 Days of Night?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good one.
Based on a comic book of the same name?
Wasn't that the one where they're actually in a ship, actually?
They're in Alaska. I forget the town in Alaska, Barrow, I think. For 30 days, there is no sun. And the vampires figured this out at some point along the line. They decided to go up there and like, hey, we could feed for 30 days. That one's really good.
I didn't see it.
Comic book's great. The art is phenomenal.
Okay.
Okay, I have it. You can borrow it.
Okay.
It's Halloween season.
I know.
So now I start watching the movies.
I got a bone up for our trivia thing.
If you think for a second you're going to beat me, at least if there's any horror movie questions, I hope I can smoke both you fools.
Right.
Okay. Well, if that's anything to do with Freddy Krueger, I gotcha.
No, there's no horror, but...
You're both going to spoke me, regardless.
Spoke you.
Spoke you.
Spoke me, yeah.
Told you I spoke you, bro. All right, any other movies with bat-esque themes that you guys love or would recommend? I don't know if it's great, but I'm a huge fan of John Carpenter, period. So John Carpenter's Vampires. You know, it's all right. Was it James Woods?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. What about the sequel?
I did not see the sequel.
John Bon Jovi.
You're kidding me. Is it good?
I don't remember it.
Is John Carpenter, did he actually direct it?
John, I don't know. I think the title is John Carpenter's Vampires Los Muertos.
Muertos,
yeah. And it's John Bon Jovi. I saw it once. It's not memorable.
And never again.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the recommendation I need.
There was a Tremors movie with where they turn into bats.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where it was like Tremors 5, where they got wings and they started flying around like bats.
Oh.
That's scary.
Well, Underworld. That's about vampires versus werewolves.
Right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Those were always fun.
Now, okay. Well, thank you, Dave. They're fun. Yeah. I'm not saying they're great movies, but they're fun. But you seem to have an issue right out of the gate.
Yeah, they're okay. I just wasn't really wild about them.
No, he's that's just all. Doing his thing. Where
no,
he,
I just wasn't. Uh-huh. They made like five of them. And What's Her Face in Leather was always a great idea. Yeah. That's why I watched it.
Okay.
Well, there you go. But still, I'm going to stick with Lost Boys.
I think that's an excellent pick.
Yeah, that's my choice.
Dave, is there one bat-esque movie that you have to watch every year?
No.
No.
We just recently watched The Dark Knight.
Did we?
Yeah, I think was right I around the time we watched The Batman.
Oh, okay.
Although the car in The Batman was wonderful. It's my favorite Batmobile so far.
You know, but the movie, the latest one with Robert Pattinson. Oh, speaking of vampires, wasn't he in the really
yes,
the
he was.
The really count. Crappy
doesn't count. That's not a vampire.
They sparkly. They're not vampires.
Have nothing to do with this topic.
Sorry, whatsoever. No offense to anybody that loves Twilight, but that's not no.
We can't be friends.
But I actually thought The Batman was a good movie.
Yeah.
Dark, gritty, long. Yeah. It was very it was a long movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your review. Appreciate it. All right, we beat that bat to death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the bat movies that we like. What bat movies do you like? And I can guarantee we missed a boatload. Even classics like Nosferatu.
Yeah.
I know we missed a lot of really good movies with a bat theme.
Right.
Whether it be a vampire or the Batman. Or the movie with, it was just called Bats. I forget the actor who was in it.
Dracula Untold wasn't bad.
Oh, with
I forget his name. Where he gets all his powers, and you see him in the army killing all the people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed.
Or
that
just Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't Leslie Nielsen also Dracula in a movie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That bat's dead. We've been killing it.
Uh-huh. It's dead.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Moving on. All right. Hey, but if you have some recommendations, because it is Halloween time, I love a good vampire movie.
And then with Keanu Reeves. Well, that's pretty good.
That was Dracula.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the original Dracula. The black and white
with
one.
Bela Lugosi?
Yeah.
No, I was talking about the one with, Keanu Reeves as Renfield.
Yeah.
Renfield, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Big, whoa, you're like a vampire.
Like a vampire, man.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
There you go. That's the one. Gary Oldman was Dracula, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Winona Ryder.
Was, yep. You got an issue with her now?
I loved her in Stranger Things.
But you didn't like her as Nina Harker?
No, I thought she was okay as Nina Harker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why everybody doesn't tune into Nash on movies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're moving on. Seriously, we're moving on. Just a couple listener feedback things here. Since we're recording this so back-to-back to the other one, didn't have time to gather. But we heard from @LouisTheDork on Twitter. I've told my Discord about you guys several times. Y'all seem to really enjoy the paranormal just as much as I do. Thanks for the great entertainment. Oh, and by the way, there is a haunted asylum here in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Sheboygan.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Might be worth checking out.
Mm.
So it's the Sheboygan, am I saying that right?
Yep.
Asylum. And I think they do ghost tours.
Nice.
Ooh.
It looks creepy. I think there was two of the Travel Channel, two of their shows explored it. I haven't seen the episodes, but it looks super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, when we get, when the Ghost and Gastropubs bus is traveling around to haunted locations and breweries, hey man, this might be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I just like saying the word Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
It's a fun one to say.
And Art Design 305 said if we're in Florida, we should check this out. Now, Dave, for some reason, I just feel like this is all you. It's the Medieval Torture Museum.
Oh, yeah, that's all me.
We are the largest interactive historical museum in the U.S. occupying more than 6,000 square feet with over 100 unique implements and devices on display.
Oh, sweet.
Enter the minds.
Interactive.
Enter the minds of fanatics, madmen, and murderers, and discover the world's most detailed collection of confinement and torture devices.
Mm.
We believe that those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it, and have amassed an unprecedented collection of cruelty based on historical documents and engravings, offering a chilling look at the darkest parts of human history. Are you brave enough?
Good yes. times, good yeah. times.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I'm ever in Florida, that sounds like a place
right.
to check out.
Sure.
Sure.
Go to the beach, yeah. go to NASA, yeah. do the Disney thing, and stop by the medieval mm-hmm. torture shop.
Right. Yeah. Get an opportunity to be hung and drawn and quartered.
You could do the medieval torture and medieval times.
Right.
And get kind of
right.
that whole theme going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah. Interactive confinement? You said one of the things it had was confinement?
Back? Yeah, I already closed the browser tab. Oh, please don't make me open it back
okay,
up.
Okay.
That's probably your stockade or
yeah
yeah
I just
that would be a good that would be a cool place to go check out.
Yeah, I wonder what if we were all transported to medieval times. Number one, we wouldn't be a podcast, but we'd be a traveling band of bards.
Ugh,
but if we got in trouble, I'm like, what would Nash be putting the stock for?
What wouldn't Nash?
What wouldn't Nash be putting the stockade for? Okay,
hmm.
But they got to put something above. The stockade, so when people throw tomatoes at him, they know how to make fun of him.
Oh, he would say, no tomatoes, he enjoys it too much.
Oh, true.
Hmm.
Do you think we would actually, if we were a traveling band of bards talking about the paranormal, oh, we would be in the stockades and
we'd be,
in
we'd a be second. All, we'd right. be all witches.
Yeah,
and, yes. Yeah, yes.
For heresy.
Mm-hmm. Right, so yeah, we couldn't do this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Back in, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. We would be a traveling band of just singers talking about tall tales in foreign lands.
Well, I could see us pulling off a whole thing like Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
Where okay. we go around and we set these things up and make some coin off of
okay.
alleviating things.
Well, that sucks for me. I'm always going to be the monster.
Oh, yes, because I was just thinking what we do as we come and tell tales of these creatures. But yeah, we're kind of like the Musketeers. Like, we're going to go out and slay this creature, but it's all about
right,
right.
You know, drumming up business to give us some mm-hmm. coin to, yeah. for our entertainment. Because like, oh, these guys are monster hunters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I right, learned, then it'd be Nash. We're dressing him up.
I'd be the monster
as
all the time.
Monster.
Right.
Yep. If I learned anything from,
which also makes it sound like we're rolling into town and stealing people's monies with our tales of monsters.
Right.
Maybe that's not a good line of work. Okay.
Well, just better than watch MLM. The documentary Brothers Grimm, and you'll see how it turns out.
Right. Brothers Grimm and the one with Dennis Quaid and Sean Connery as the dragon. The
Braveheart?
Dragonheart.
Dragonheart.
The one with Sean Connery. And, yeah, Braveheart.
Braveheart.
It wasn't Mel Gibson. That,
right. It was I Am Sean William Connery. Wallace. No, it's not that one.
But the if I learned anything from them, it's that in the medieval times, the key was to come up with a ruse to convince the village people that something right. bad was happening.
Right.
And save them from it. And that's how you made coin.
Yes. All right. So then we would still be the paranormal punchers because they would be like, oh, they're going right. to save us
yeah.
from the creature that's running around. It looks like very familiar to the guy sitting in the bar right now.
Hmm.
Yeah, we would. We'd mess it up.
Yeah.
We'd be in the stockades.
Yeah. Or worse.
Mm-hmm. Or worse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. There you go. That's if you were in the medieval times, that's how paranormal punchers would be.
Yeah.
We'd be bandits, I guess.
Right.
Roving bandits.
Rogues. So,
speaking of medieval times and bats and vampires.
Getting weirder.
So I saw something in the news
Uh-oh.
About they unearthed this grave over in Poland. This was last week or two. And this apparently was the grave of a local businesswoman. She was very wealthy and died, I forget if it was the 1600s or 1700s.
Okay.
But they were worried she was a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they set it up so that if she came back to life as a vampire, they put a sickle over her neck so that when she sat up, she would decapitate herself.
Nice.
To prevent her from resurrecting as a vampire.
Wow.
So I just thought that was interesting. Kind of tied into today's bat stories and vampire stories.
Wait, well, to the very end bring that up.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm. So they unearthed this grave.
Okay.
And they thought, well, she could be a vampire.
Well, not the people unearthing the grave, the people who originally buried her.
You weren't listening to the story.
So did they like notate? Did they put something on the actual casket?
As an archaeologist, I put sickles over all of the graves I own.
Right. I thought when they're getting ready to open the grave that the people who were going to open it, they put the sickles on just to be sure.
No,
that time has passed.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, it's all in the logistics.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I got that story wrong.
Yeah.
The people who buried her put the sickle.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I thought the people who were going to unearth her were afraid. Right. So they put a sickle over her.
Dave, man, when you interjected with this quip, it was perfect. And then Nash.
You're right. I missed some of it.
But you were sitting right next to him.
Well,
right?
I was talking about my second beer. It's all right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You were distracted.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. I don't think so.
No, <you're right. laughs> I don't think so. All right. Hey, if you want to send us any feedback, a paranormal story, just go to paranormalpunchers.com. You'll find all the ways to contact us, all the social medias. We have a Halloween special we're working on, so get ready because it is Halloween season.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Right? It should always be Halloween season.
I know. No
well,
way.
September is basically Christmas Halloween. Season's the best.
I disagree. Right.
The whole month.
Yeah. Halloween. Yeah. Is greater than Christmas, right? Come on, it's so cool.
Actually, the best holiday of all of them, everywhere,
is your birthday,
Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say my birthday's my favorite holiday, but
you're crushing margaritas.
The whole basis of Cinco de Mayo is to sit back and have a margarita.
I'm pretty sure our friends in Mexico would disagree that there's a bigger meaning to Cinco de Mayo.
There probably is, but that's what it means to...
Same thing with St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm.
I say Cinco de Mayo. It's a little bit more relaxed.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with Halloween is awesome, and we're in full Halloween mode, and we got our Halloween special coming your way.
Where Mark loses in a tribute contest.
I will put $20.
$20.
You guys want to bet $20?
Do you want to?
I already know my outcome.
I'm not betting. Well, it's not that you or I win, Dave. It's just that we have to be sure that Mark does not.
Well, then that would mean you or Dave would win.
Right.
There's only three of us playing.
Right.
Correct.
And I know I'm not. So, and I don't trust you that much. So.
Oh!
Wow. I've been cramming horror movies.
Now I'm like envisioning the 15th century version of our podcast. And that's when Dave just threw you to the Inquisition so he could get out of
it. Right, yeah. Uh-huh. I see how it is.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition.
And on that note, we cue the music. Somebody out there got it.
Oh.
I know. Some listeners, they got it. If it's not weird,
it's not worth checking out.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.